on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Obiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in D.C.
Hi, Maggie.
Hey, Christy.
It's so fun to be in the same room with each other.
It definitely feels strange.
Right.
I mean, I think not being in the same room with you doesn't feel strange.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like
recording a podcast in the same space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of confusing. Like, do I look at you? Do I look at the computer? This is a whole new
this
world.
Is a different way for us to record.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Indeed. So you guys know, Maggie and I, we've talked about this, went to school together, but a few years ago, Maggie moved close to the town my parents live in. And so being home for the holidays or being home to visit my parents means I actually get to physically see her in person.
Yes.
Instead of seeing her on the interwebs
yeah.
of the world or at a conference. So it's always fun because this is more like we get to get together for fun in these ways. So happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. We're also, like, I'm currently on break from seeing clients. So we were just kind of talking about that too, getting a little to ourselves. So getting, you know, the fun stuff, time with family, friends, nurturance, dinners, parties, all that good stuff, which is an important part of us taking care of ourselves. And we'll have another episode on self-care.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things we were kind of talking about was parent.
Yes. Yeah. Because that comes up a lot. About working with parents and because kids come with parents.
Yeah.
So it will be unique that you don't have interaction with parents.
Yes. And I think it can be, there are so many different types of parents that we're working with. And I think for me early on and for my supervisees, I'm experiencing it too, is like, it becomes really scary. They're like, oh my gosh, how do I talk to parents? And now it's gotten much easier. I think I like talking with parents, but it does, there are so many things that come up with that too. And one, you know, I think when I was first starting out, it's like, oh my gosh, but they're grown-ups and they're in charge, right? And I didn't feel like a grown-up.
Yes.
Then now as a mother, it also, I have to really police myself as to like how much of my own experiences that I'm giving.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting for me because play therapy is actually a second career for me. I was a child life specialist first. So I've worked with parents in hospital settings for a long time. So it was a surprise to me how many people felt apprehensive or fearful of parents, because that just wasn't my experience. Is in the hospital setting, kids come with parents. So you're working with the parents equally as you're working with the kids. So I've always had, I think, more comfort working with parents, but I have a lot of students, a lot of people I consult with that really struggle working with parents, which is so surprising because I find parents delightful to work with. I also find it really helpful. It switches my brain. I'm still doing play therapy, but like I have to switch a little bit. So it almost is like renewing in the moment to work with parents.
I do. And I think we've talked about this too, like how even like varying our caseloads that we're not only seeing children.
Yeah.
I think like working with adults brings a different, I think almost for me, it's like I can relax a little bit more because you're still picking up on all of the nuances and stuff, but it's more verbal, which I think just as an adult, that's my mode of communication.
Yes.
And so it makes it a little bit more conversational. I also think that when we're doing parent consultations, I talk to my students about like, you're the expert in this space, right? So it's a little different. Like you're still using your counseling skills to, you know, build that relationship, but you're also having to educate them on the process and help give them skills. And I think for you and I were so lucky because we had so many classes about play therapy and not not a lot of people get that opportunity. And
Because they're
so
doing it more through
they're
workshops
doing it through
or
workshops and so,
conference
right?
sessions.
And so I think that expert piece is where it gets scary too, because they're like, well, I know what I'm doing, but am I able to explain it in a way to get someone else on board?
Yeah, and I think for a lot of play therapists, we may not be parents yet. And so that idea of expert is a hard one to kind of take on because I remember being asked, like, do you have kids? Which was like my biggest fear of a question that a parent might ask. And I don't have kids. I still don't have kids, but it doesn't decrease my level of expertise. And I think that's something we kind of have to grow in as a play therapist is this idea is you have schooling, you have a lot of other training that most parents never get. So taking ownership of that and being okay with, I might not have birthed a child. What parents are really asking in that question, my experience is they just want to know that you can help their kid and you've got something to bring to the table, which I think all play therapists do.
And I think there are ways to respond to that question. And I responded one time really bad. So I was working with a family. The parent asked me, well, are you a parent? And I said, no, I'm a doctor. And that was the worst in the world. I was like, oh my God, I can't. It was like I just got really defensive.
Yeah.
So don't do what I did. Now
But
I'm
I
like,
think that's the key, right? Like, we can't get defensive in those moments. We just have to own and just answer the question straight up. No, I don't have kids myself. But it sounds like you're worried that I won't be able to relate or support you because I don't have my own kids.
That's a really great way of like reflecting like what they're going through.
And then I just stop there. I stop talking because it gives them an option to then speak up and be like, well, tell me more about your training or tell me about this so that I can really get to the undergirding of that question that they were asking me, which is if do you have kids, which is really, are you really able to help us?
I do it differently, and I like that way. That's really thoughtful. And I think that's why I like talking about this stuff with you,
Yeah.
because you give me so much more like
And
introspection.
I think we both do, because we don't get to talk about this with people, right? Sometimes you're the only play therapist in a practice. You're the only, one, or you are feeling so unsure that you're afraid to ask these questions of other people out of fear that they're going to look at you less. But we need to have conversations. We need to be open and share where we're struggling or how do you respond to this? Because I keep screwing this up.
Yes, I say, like, going back to the parenting thing, now I'm like, what I'll respond is they already have you as a parent, and that does not need to be my role. You've got that covered. I'm here to
Oh,
help
I like that.
your child in this way, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't need another parent. That does not need to be my role.
Well, I think it reinforces how powerful they are too. And oftentimes, parents who come to see us, or my experience has been, they've tried everything. They don't know what else to do. They've followed a million people's advice. They have felt less and less confident as a parent. And they feel like they're the ones who screwed up their children sometimes. And not in a, and I'm not saying that to demean parents. I think they just come to us in a state of panic, emergency. We often aren't their first call.
And I think it's just so, as a parent,
Who has
who
brought a
has,
child to a play therapist?
yes, my children love play therapy. And sometimes they hate that I'm a play therapist and they let me know that. It is like so much of that guilt. Like, what did I do wrong? And I think I, one, by nature, just assume that I've done something wrong. I think you know that about me. But then I feel that extra layer of like, but I work with other kids. How am I not able to do that? And it one of my supervisees is working with someone whose the parent is a child psychologist. And so it's really hard, but she's feeling pressure. Like, my supervisee's feeling pressure because she's like, well, she already knows everything. Like, what can I? And I was like, no. Like, you can't be that for, she can't be that for her child, right? And so she needs you. And even though the fields are similar, they're very different. And so helping parents understand. And so that's when I work with parents, I think it's different. Like, on the intake, I really try and form that relationship quickly. So a lot of empathy, a lot of reflection. And then I really let them know this is going to be a very different session than what our other sessions are going to look like, because I need to ask you a bunch of questions and I might be writing them down. And this is not how it will go in the future. And so I kind of like almost like three stages of the intake that I do is getting them on board and really relating to them and helping them feel heard and seen. And then asking them all of the questions with reflections in between so it doesn't feel like an interview. And then I explain the play therapy process and what it'll look like. How do you set yours up?
So I do introductions first. I tell a little bit about my background, who I am. I actually do paperwork first, and I tell them, there's a lot of logistical things that we need to go through before we can get into what's going on with your kiddo. So I actually go through my paperwork first, and I do that because I find I run out of time. And so then I'm rushing through that, and I want us to make sure I do send it to them ahead of time so they have a chance to look at it, so they can read through. In North Carolina, we call it a rights and responsibilities page. So they can read through the rights and responsibilities of me as a therapist, professional disclosure, they're called all different things. So I send that ahead of time with all my paperwork so they can fill it out and bring it filled out,
And the
and
confidentiality leading up to
confidentiality.
it.
And I review it, even though they've signed it. So before I witness it on either on screen or on paper, depending how parents function, because some of my parents are still printing and bringing things in, and then some send it back through the electronic portal. I then I always start off is tell me what made you call.
Oh, I like
So I
that.
let them narrate first because I find it answers a lot of my questions. And I say, sometimes I'm going to want to follow up on some of the stuff you're sharing, and sometimes I'm going to really sit and listen and really get a holistic picture of the struggles that you guys have been having to get you here. And then I said, I might have some follow-up questions, and then the list of questions. So I try the first one. I mean, ideally, I'd love it, my first intake to be 2 hours, but it's really hard to get parents to come in for 2 hours. So I often have to break it up. And so I'll do an hour of hearing their general concerns. And then I have a few key questions that I want to ask about safety around both for the child and the family, some history questions.
What do you mean by safety? What do you ask them?
Like, has your child ever talked about suicidality or suicidal ideation? Have they ever asked if they want to harm themselves, kill themselves, which we're seeing a rise in right now in children, that language I find in my practice is coming up more. I also work with a doctoral student, Mia Garcia, who that's her area of study. So
Oh,
she's really like
really?
highlighted it for me, like the need for us to do more assessment and suicidality for kids.
That let's have that be a topic at some point because I'm curious. I
I
kind of,
don't feel like an expert. I'm
maybe
just
we should have
dabbling
her
it. We
come
should have her
in.
come and talk about it because it's really an important topic. So I do a little bit of that. I ask how invasive the problems are. Are they having you just at home, at school, at extracurricular activities? Who else in their life might know about the struggles they're having? I ask if they have seen any other mental health. It's on my form, but I ask because sometimes they say no on the form, but then when we're talking, they're like, oh yeah, they saw someone. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me write that down. Who did they see? When was the last time they saw them? Because I work really hard not to poach clients. It's happened to me before. So it's like one of my pet peeves that I would never want a therapist to feel like I'm replacing or taking over. And if they've seen any other type of therapist, so like occupational, speech, anything like that that I should be aware of. Do they have any other diagnoses? So like sensory processing, are they have any neurodiversity, any other history, family history of mental health diagnoses or concerns, both in the immediate family, extended family. If they have seen someone, I ask about medication. And then I talk about at the very end, I talk about what play therapy is going to look like, what to expect. And I also have them, we create a co-contract about their involvement in play therapy so that we will meet every 4 to 6 weeks. Right? That's part of the contract of me seeing your child so that their engagement is pretty high.
This is why
In
it's
some
helpful.
families, it's more informal, right? Like we do it in between or at the end of the session when the kids are playing. Because I also try to build my sessions where I don't stack a lot of sessions. So I don't do like, I try not to do on the hour. I try to do like hour and 10 minute if I can.
Oh, yeah.
So it gives me a little extra leeway. I can clean the playroom without feeling rushed.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I can also spend a few extra minutes with parents. My office is in an old house, and parents like to sit on the porch. So as their kids are playing, it's also there's no one else around. So we can kind of talk freely while their kids are playing out in the yard of the old
That's
house.
fun.
So it feels more informal that we can do that, though I work really hard to maintain confidentiality. So if other people are sitting out there, we won't have those conversations.
This is also, as you were talking, like why I need someone like you, like in my life. Because I forget sometimes, like where I really struggle, and I think what keeps me from like starting my own practice is all of the logistic things. I'm like, oh yeah, now I was a contract with the parents. It's a great idea, right? So I'm just very like
as you go.
Yeah, and like more big picture, if you will. And so that's why I need Christy. This is a helpful reminder. I'm like, oh yeah, all of that stuff.
You're
Because
so
I
sweet.
forget about them.
And I forget the big picture. So,
Well, this is why we do well in research together. Because I'm like, I have this big idea. And she's like, okay, well, how can we
right,
actually complete it? So
let's talk this through.
I'm like, wait, no, we're going to change the world. One of my favorite questions to ask parents, and this comes from D,
Yeah.
is potty
Dr. D.
training.
Ray.
Dr. D. Ray is asking about potty training.
And why do you ask that question, Maggie?
So D has a theory that how a child potty trains is reflective of their personality.
Ah.
Has she talked to you about, did she talk to you all about that?
She did, but I always heard it
Oh,
differently.
how did
It's so
you?
interesting. I always heard it was a microcosm of the parent-child relationship and
Oh,
how they interact together. So
interesting.
it could be part of the child's personality, but then how does the parent respond to
Oh,
the child's
yeah.
personality? Are they trying to push the child quicker than they're ready to go? Are they so lackadaisical that they're not responsive, right? Like those types of,
Yeah.
because it gives you a good mirror of maybe like how they're interacting regularly. So that's how
Yeah.
I always
Oh, that's
understood it.
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
We'll have to
because,
ask Steve which one is
yeah,
accurate.
I'll have to ask her
If we're
because,
both accurate.
well, and that's like, it's so funny because I think about my own children and the way they potty trained. And now I'm looking at it from a different lens of like,
Yeah.
what does that say about our relationship? Because,
Kind of what I look for in that question is like, are parents listening to their children's cues? Are they ready? Are they not ready? Or is there like a pressure on them to get them ready? So, like, school tends to be a big pressure because you have to be potty trained to go to
Right,
certain schools. And
yeah.
so they'll get a lot of pressure from that. And then you'll see them pressuring the kid, and the kid doesn't respond to pressure well, or they do respond to pressure well, right? So it also tells you how they're interacting and how both the child responds and the parent responds. And what does that pressure look like?
Yeah. So I guess
So,
I did not pressure them. Maybe I did.
hey,
I
you
pressured him?
don't pressure your kids. No.
Oh,
No,
I was like, did I?
I'm looking at you like, for real? You're asking this question? No.
So if I think this is also a microcosm of a parent consult, because I'm like, give me affirmation that I didn't ruin my
Yes.
children, right? And no matter how much education and training that I have. And so really like helping parents
Yeah.
feel comfortable because they're
Well, and
scared a lot of
affirmed.
times.
Right?
Yeah.
They want to know they haven't screwed up their kids and that there's hope for
Yeah.
something to be different. And so I think it's a big role of ours is to instill hope and that they are capable. So for me, a lot of the affirming and igniting them that they can also learn this stuff. So part of our time together is going to be when I find things that work in the playroom, I'm going to share them with you because I want you to be able to use them at home so that you're not continuing to have the same struggle. So I'm
Yeah.
also a big proponent of giving what we do away to
Yeah.
other people.
Yeah. And no, I think that's a big, I really try and do that and try to make it align with what they're dealing with at home, right? Because you don't want to overwhelm them with skills, right? And so trying to like do it in ways that you think will be manageable, but
Yeah.
also that will work. And I think that's where my biggest struggle is with parent consultations now that I am a parent, is because I've used them at home and I see them work at home. And so I am constantly battling like, is this a space where I like, should I tell them that I also do this?
Yeah.
And so
So
it's
how
like,
much do you disclose
right.
in consultations?
Because you don't want them to be like, she
Yeah.
only talks about herself, right? Like, of
Or
course it
she's the
works.
perfect
She's
parent.
right.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot, actually, where people are like, you must be the perfect parent. I was like, oh no. Like, do you yell at your children? I'm like,
Yes,
yes. And actually,
daily. And the reality is what we do in the play session, we can't do 24 hours, 7 days a week
no.
for our kids. They need that balance of both structure and unstructured, right? To lead and to follow, to be guided and to guide. And so I think it really is a balance of the two. And that's
Yeah.
often what I share with parents when they're like, they're just going to run amok in your playroom. I was like, no,
No.
they're really not. But yeah, but I don't always ask that question in the first parent
Really?
consultation. Yeah, because I'll on the second parent consultation, I'll do more of a developmental. So I'll ask more of the detailed. I do use the Advanced Play Therapy book by Dee Ray. She has
Yeah.
a list of questions. I find them very helpful. And I've also, it's been nice because I've gotten to know the child for 3 or 4 sessions
Mm-hmm.
to kind of see from their perspective, you know, like
Right.
who they are, what their temperament, what their personality is like. And then sometimes I've also heard from like the teacher, I've heard from maybe other people in the child's life. And I do like to do the initial with both parents, and I like to do the follow-up with both parents. I don't always get both parents.
Yeah.
I normally get one parent, but I try to get both parents. I would say my initial, I mostly get both parents. And then in the second, I sometimes just get one of the two parents.
Yeah.
Where that's different is if they're divorced.
Yeah.
And that's something I think we could spend a whole podcast of working with separated and divorced parents and maybe bring someone in who works with high conflict divorce, because that looks very different.
Yes. Dr. Lynn Etheridge in Mississippi, she was a former lawyer and is a play therapist, and she does high conflict.
Yeah.
And she goes to court all the time. She would be, actually, we should bring her on.
So, but just kind of, how do we maneuver that? Because it is an anxiety producing when I see divorce. I won't fib. That's when I was like, oh, please don't let it be high conflict.
Yeah.
Because it gets
makes it
messy.
Really hard.
But I do, again, I contract with both parents, like what the expectation, what my purpose is, that stuff. But I think we should spend an episode just talking about working with parents who are separated or divorced.
Yeah. Because I do think like, we're kind of, as we're kind of going through all of this, it's like, this is when it, when parents are on board and they're engaged, it's really great, but that's not always the way it is, right?
I think some parents are skeptical.
I think parents are skeptical. I think they're scared. And okay, other things that we talk about with parents.
So I do think a big part of the initial parent consultation is helping the parent feel comfortable with who their child is going to see. Right.
Yeah.
So it's really building a relationship with the parent as much as it is with the child. Now, I'm not doing the parent's counseling session,
right?
But I do want to make sure that I am building good rapport with them so they feel a level of trust, because I also see then that trust transfer over to their child. Because if a parent can trust me, right, and the parent is giving messages to their child, they trust me. So ways we might do that, it's really doing a lot of active listening and reflective responding with parents. So we are rewording, restating what they, let me make sure I'm understanding you.
Seems like this is blah, blah, blah.
This is really challenging for you. This sounds like it makes life difficult. So I'm really like partnering with the parent at that moment so that they don't feel like they're living on an iceberg on their own, right? That it's, they're still part of the mainland, right? And how, even if there are maybe crevices and cracks, here is how I think play therapy will help in these areas for you. So I'm also telling how I think my skills can be helpful so that they're gaining confidence.
Yeah.
And if I don't know, I don't pretend to know. I say, you know, that, oh, that, I might have to think about that. And if it's not in my wheelhouse, I'm owning it's not in my wheelhouse, right? I'm not saying I can do something that I'm not sure. And if it's a new area that I haven't done before, I tell parents, I might have to seek consultation on this. It'll depend on how comfortable you feel. I could also try to find you someone else. And I use this analogy a lot. I use it with adult clients, teenagers, and parents in particular. I say that counseling, finding the right counselor or play therapist, is like finding the right pair of jeans. Sometimes you have to try a whole bunch of pairs on before you find the right fit. Sometimes you think it's the right fit. You get home, you wear them 2 or 3 times, and you're like, this doesn't fit well. These, I don't like these. Finding a counselor can be like that too. Mm-hmm. So please know, at any point, if you don't feel comfortable or this is not feeling like a good fit, let me know. I won't be offended.
Right.
And I'd rather help find you a person of what you're looking for. So if I'm not that right, then let me get you connected with someone else who could feel like a better fit.
Yeah.
And typically they're looking for someone more directive.
Yeah. In my experience, it's been like that too. And I think it really is meaningful to clients when you do say that.
Yes.
I think they really appreciate it. I will always end up, you know, my intakes like that. Like, hey, listen, like, this is important that you feel comfortable.
Yep.
And it's okay if you don't. I'm going to go ahead and put a hold on this date and time because I don't want it to get filled. And you let me know at any point before that if you don't feel comfortable, and I will take it off. And I think they really appreciate that. The other thing that I do with parents is I do try and reflect like how much they love and care for their child. And that's, we forget that and how much love is there and how hard this experience is for you. And it's very affirming. for parents when you say that. I feel like that is something that really connects. And I think so, like for people who are listening, is just remembering that. Because sometimes we can get really frustrated with parents, if, especially like when there's like attachment stuff happening or there's parenting things that perhaps we wish they wouldn't do or we don't think are as
So that was
helpful.
going to be the question I had for you. When parents bring up something that you feel might be harmful, and I think the common one that I get asked is
Spanking. Yeah.
spanking, right? Like, how do you respond to that? Because it does come up in the intake session often when you
Yeah.
ask, how do you handle that? Because that is one question I sometimes will follow up. Like, what is your, how do you guys manage that at home? Right. So if, he's always talking back, or she's always doing this, or they do this, right? I'll say, what does that look like in your house? How do you manage that? How does your partner manage that? How does your ex manage that, right? If there's conflict there, so that I have a better picture. But how do you respond to the spanking question?
And I've done a lot of work on this, right? And a lot of research, and because there's cultural implications, right? And so I had one of my students, Mahogany Persip, she's amazing. And she was like, this is very common in the African American community. And it is a way in which to protect children, because what happens outside could be much, much worse. And so working with my other doc student, Kate Anderson, and Dr. Deborah Ojambo in Uganda, recognizing the cultural piece of spanking and how Deborah handled it, and I think this is how I will continue to handle it, is how is that working for you? Because it's not a judgment of what you're doing, but a question, is that working for you? And it's often not, whether it be yelling or spanking or whatever it is. And so then I'll kind of go into, these are some of the messages that could be being sent in that way. Like, it's, we hit when we're angry, then they try and avoid getting caught because they don't want the consequence. Or by yelling, when they're escalated and you escalate, everyone just escalates.
Yeah, the volcano effect.
Right. And so how can, and I'll explain that, like with the brain, and like they're in their brainstem in those moments. And so what they really need is, like, if you think back when they're a baby and how you had to soothe them, like calm yourself and regulate yourself. And how can you do that? And so I'll kind of give skills around that. And one thing, especially if they're partnered, it's really helpful to tap in. Right. And so, like,
Tag team.
I'll have to tag out if I'm becoming too dysregulated. It's harder when you're alone. I think that makes it really, really tough. And so finding ways, it's like, okay, so what are some ways in which you can take care of yourself in those moments to regulate yourself so that they can regulate? So that's how I handle it. How do you handle it?
I don't handle it in the intake. I wait to a parent consultation to do it. And my rationale for that is I don't want them to feel judged off the bat in our relationship. Now, if they're doing something really harmful to their child, I am a big advocate of telling them that, it's already in our paperwork up front, right? That I'm a mandatory reporter, all that
What does
stuff.
that look like?
What does that look like? Like, this would be a moment that what you're describing right now is something that I am going to have to report. And I want to be transparent with you because I don't want anything to be a surprise to you, unless I think the parent would retaliate against the child. That's the only time I won't tell them that I'm reporting. But I tend to like disclose that. Yeah, it's a
It comes up,
conversation. It comes up down the road. I'll note it in the intake because I'll say, how do you guys handle that? We spank. Okay. And I think they're surprised because I think they're used to being lectured about that's not a good approach. And sometimes they'll say, I don't know if that's the best way. And I was like, well, let me get to know your child better. Let me hear more about what's happening from you. And maybe we can tackle that in a parent time, unless that's something you really want to focus on today. And then if they're like, I do want to focus it on today, then I'll kind of go into a case that pops up to me as I was doing an intake with a mom and a grandmother. And so I brought it up and I think I said, how does that feel like that's working? So with no judgment, just kind of, I want to hear from you guys. And they're like, it works great, except he was coming because he was aggressive at school and he was hitting kids. And the caregivers talked about him hitting at home. That was his way of problem solving. And I wasn't reactive at all. I just said, okay, right? And I just kind of noted it. And the mom said to me, she goes, well, what do you think about that? And I was like, oh, did I give you an opinion? Like, I had an opinion about that? And she's like, well, everyone we've told that to has gone into a lecture for us. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on it. And I said, you know, I can't say I'm pro spanking and I can't say I'm against spanking because for some children, that is the method that works the best. What I'm hearing from you is, although it stops your child's behavior, it sounds like it's showing up in other ways. I'm wondering if what this kiddo has learned is when you get upset, when you get frustrated, when you do something like that, how you express yourself is through hitting others. And it was like an aha moment for these caregivers. They were like, they looked at each other and they're like, we never even thought of that. Right. So because people lectured, they got defensive. I
Right.
wasn't gonna, I said, if it's working, I'm not here to correct things that are working. But if they're not working, I'm here to help you figure out some other tools for your toolbox to use. Because it's not something I normally
Yeah.
jump into in a consult, but it like stands out to me as a
Yeah.
kind of a case, but it tends to come up later.
Yeah.
And sometimes parents won't disclose it till later
Right.
because they're afraid of our judgment. And so, can I ask you one more question? Because we've jumped into parent consultation, like that first
Yeah.
intake, but that's not our first interaction with a parent.
Oh, like on the phone
The
or
phone,
yeah.
like, do you do anything special when parents call to set up appointments?
No. Well, so I'm not in practice now.
Okay.
And for the last 6 years of practice, there was a scheduler, and so they would just put them
Ah,
on my
okay.
case. I would call them before and say, my name and
Yep.
I'm excited to talk to you. This first session will be just for us.
Yes. Oh, that's something else we haven't talked about.
Yeah, not including the child in the intake.
Yep.
But yeah, I just try and be really warm and thank you for reaching out. And
Yeah.
do you do something special? Is there
No, but it's
something I'm
something I
forgetting?
think sometimes it can feel really methodical to people. And so I know when I'm talking about working with parents, I encourage my students to do their first few phone scheduling with a mirror in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
So, because if you're not smiling, sometimes that comes across on your voice. And so, just to kind of train yourself to be more engaging,
Yeah.
I'll encourage them to like look in a mirror while they're talking.
You know
So that they can, so and because if they see
Yeah.
themselves like having a reaction, like just to note that, and does their voice change or things like that,
That's so funny.
remembering that that is your first contact
Yeah.
with parents, and so making sure you're warm, you're engaging. So I'm in private practice, so they come to me. I don't have a schedule to do that, so I get those initial calls, trying to be responsive quickly. Sometimes that's my hiccup because I just practice one or
Yeah.
2 days a week. And so making sure, like on our webpage, that's actually noted on there that I'm only in the office Thursdays and Fridays. So I tried to just work private practice Thursdays and Fridays. And really now it's just Fridays. It's not even Thursdays anymore, so that I can be pretty consistent so that they know if you call me on a Monday, I might not get back to you till Friday. Now, if I have an established client, that looks
Yeah.
different, but like a brand new client, because those initial phone calls can sometimes
Take a while.
take a while and they kind of spur into intake
Yes.
sessions. And so you have to also know, like, this is really great information. Unfortunately, I'm not somewhere where I can write this stuff down. I'd love to talk to you this in our intake session. Let's see if we can get that on the schedule. So sometimes you're doing more redirecting
Yeah.
in that initial phone call.
Yeah.
And so,
Having to establish those boundaries.
yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is hard. And I'm always surprised at how much information people kind of give you up front. And I think that's probably anxiety and maybe some nerves. Like, I'll just tell it all, right? Which I appreciate, but then it can be overwhelming on the other end because it kind of just gets dumped in your lap and you're like, okay, let's, because I also want to relate it back to play therapy, not on the
Yeah.
phone
Right.
call, but like in the intake, I want to relate it how play therapy could be helpful in this scenario. So, and then the last thing I wanted to share is, so when I end my intake, my initial intake, I summarize. Do you do the same thing? Like, I'll go back through. So let me make sure I've got like the key components. And if parents give you a lot of things, because sometimes they have a lot of things, I try to help them. Like what I've heard you say is A, B, C, D, E, and F. If we had to pick three of those things right up front to start with, what are the three most important to you? And then we'll look at kind of layering, like what would be next. So when I meet after the second parent intake, then I'm starting to talk about treatment planning, but then I'm going to focus on those A, B, and C, not all the way to F, because I
Yeah.
can't always capture all of those, even though they're typically related.
I feel like, I mean, we could probably talk about this for like,
Oh, days.
yeah.
I teach a whole class on this, y'all. I can talk about this for 16 weeks.
Well, yeah, let's like, yeah, I think this is like a good kind of like overview. And we could probably like do another episode where we talk about
Or
like
a
very
few just
detailed,
working with
yeah, like.
parents, how when parents get stuck or they have, yeah, let us know what you guys want. What support do you need when working with parents? If you have some common things that come up, go ahead and put it on our email.
Yep.
Which is.
PlayfulBeginningsPodcast@gmail.com.
And then,
Website coming soon.
yep, we're working on that. And
Yeah.
then, so that we can be supportive and helpful to you, because we don't have all the answers, and you might be struggling in areas that Maggie and I might not have thought of.
Yeah.
And we might be struggling there too. We just haven't, it isn't in our awareness. So
Yeah.
let us know. We want to hear from you guys. And we hope you have a wonderful start to your new year.
2025.
Here it comes, ready or not.
Oh, geez, I just got used to 24.
I'll mark that wrong a lot of times on things that are coming forward. 2024 will be the
Forgotten
year
year.
for a few weeks at least.
Yeah.
And then crossed off and say five. So, Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy New Year.